Again, welcome everybody to tonight's special meeting of council. Particularly warm welcome to our management team and staff members. And of course, acting GM Wes Young in the chair beside me. Welcome, Wes. And also to Dave Race from Airport Corporation. Welcome, Dave, as a member of the public gallery. Good to see you here. We'll start this evening's meeting with item number 16838, where as chairperson, I'm required to ensure that any councillor who has a pecuniary interest in any item on the agenda tonight has advised the acting general manager of that pecuniary interest, and I assume that has taken place, should that be the case. Next item on our agenda is 16839, the review of rates and charges policy. Councillor McLaren, thank you.
Councillor McLaren, sir.
And Councillor Young as the seconder.
Councillor, assume Andrew has a presentation he'd like to make. We have workshopped this item quite thoroughly.
No, I'll just join any so I can share my screen.
See his face.
Clear, we're talking about item number 16839, that is the review of rates and charges policy, the actual annual plan as such. Andrew, do you have a presentation in relation to?
No, I don't.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, I have no comments. It's been thoroughly.
Thank you, Councillor McLaren. Councillor Young?
I'm the same. We've been through it pretty thoroughly.
Okay, thank you. Any queries or questions around the table?
I'm back through the
feedback.
Okay, councillors, any questions in relation to the review of the rates and charges policy? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against?
Against.
Councillors, recorded against. Thank you. That motion is carried by a majority. Item number 16840, that is the approval of the 2021-22 annual plan, budget and rates.
So moved, Councillor McLaren.
Thank you, Councillor McLaren. Is there a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Sims. Councillor McLaren.
And I assume Andrew has a presentation to this one.
Andrew, if you would.
Apologies. So
I should say for the record that our speaker next is Team Leader of Finance, Andrew Koch.
Yeah, so the budget presentation, I guess it started with just an explanation of the process. Started back in February, included submissions from community groups and council committees to look at just bus tour, is it various sites throughout municipality, some perhaps backwards looking from prior year capital projects, also some related to the capital program for 2022. It's also been a series of workshops right through from February through to the 9th of June, just refining the budget. Influence on the budget, I guess it's the carryover influence of COVID-19. It's probably the opposite effect to what we were talking about last year. We were talking about perhaps an economic downturn. It's probably now economic stimulus extended potentially overheating, but still has an impact, I guess, on council's budget. In particular, the budget's been impacted still by low interest rates, but also, I guess, considering the impact of demand for services and how that will impact on delivery of the capital program. Again, that increased demand is expected to cause increase in prices. So while the council cost index for 2021 was 0.95%, we've allowed for inflation potentially go up to 3.5% during 21-22 in our formulations. The mentioned there the resource sharing arrangement between the Trove and Keyes Council, the main impact of that on the budget is the fact that we can't look at the wages budget in isolation, the two the workforce is combined, and so any changes in labour is generally shared across the two councils, both of those things together, and similarly with plant as well, similarly with the plant that's shared across the two councils. The annual plan and budget report, just a bit of an explanation, it's four main sections to it, and the idea is that in one of those sections read as a standalone section of the document. So the introduction and from the Mayor and General Manager, if you just read that section, you should get a reasonable idea of the expected results of Council's budget. The next section is the annual plan, which is basically the looking at Council's strategic plan and what we're doing this year to achieve that strategic plan, and how much resources are allocated to strategic objectives under that plan. There's then a detailed analysis of the budget where we look at the variances between the forecast results for the 2021 year and the budget results for 2022 and explain significant variances between the two. And then there's an appendix section, which is the detailed budget of financial statements, detailed capital program, and also things like the rates resolution and schedules of fees and charges. So that's the document. Highlights of the budget for capital, the first four projects listed there are all priority projects from Council's strategic plan. So obviously there's more. The total capital program's 23 million, so these are just the significant projects. I won't read each of those. I guess the first four, as I said, are projects out of the strategic plan. The Tower upgrade and the Hawley Esplanade both had significant community consultation, I think, to this point, and we're expected to have construction start in the 2023 year. Operating highlights, there's four main ones there mentioned there. Support for the joint business association with Kentish Council, open space recreation plan, joint biking and walking strategy, and also just some changes to the accidents Hall of Fame display and appointment of a curator. So rates, after the zero rate rise last year, we proposed an increase of 4.1% for 21-22. So effectively that's an inflation of 1.1% and a 3% over and above inflation. But as I said, inflation for 21-22 is potentially expected to at least 3.5%. After allowing for new growth from rates for new building growth, there's an additional 2% to the rates revenue. So talking about a proposed general rate income increase of 0.1% total. Waste management rates are proposed to increase by 10%. The main reason for that being higher than the 6.1 for the general rate is that we're allowing for an increase in the waste levy, currently $5.50. A tonne that is proposed sometime during the financial year, not sure the exact timing, but to go to $20 per tonne. Having said that, Council still does remain one of the lowest rating councils in Tasmania when you take it on a rates per rateable property basis. So the underlying result, you see there, perhaps the previous year, so there was a $200,000 deficit in 2020, which is the start of the impact of COVID-19. Then 2021 had, I guess, a full year of impact of COVID-19, just over a $600,000 deficit. But pleasingly, from 2022 onwards, we're starting to turn that around with a budgeted small underlying surplus of $3,000 in 2021-22, which is improvement of 609,000 from the previous year. So capital works, as I mentioned, 23 million, 23.5 million, of which was carried to the previous financial year. Reason for that, there's been a lot of cases, it's been scoping and community consultation, but also they're starting to see difficulty in getting hold of contractors and skilled people to do the work. In terms of funding for the capital works for 21-22, where it says total external funding there, I guess it's external funding and borrowing, because the borrowing's, it's financing it, but that's still going to be funded by council rates in the future. But yeah, there'll be 9.7 million of grants for the capital program, 60,000 capital contributions, $5 million in new borrowings, the Latrobe flood mitigation project, also $2.8 million of borrowing carried forward. It's basically already been drawn to that, sitting in the bank ready to fund carried forward for the 2021 capital program. So council's operating budget, so its results for this year, fund $3.6 million of that major. Council's digging into its cash reserves by $2.2 million. So in terms of cash flow, you can see there the declining estimated cash balances from a total of almost 12 million at the end of 2021 to just over 6 million at the end of 2022, and then declining to around just over around close to $3 million, and we'll see when you look at the long-term financial plan, that hovering around that $3 million, which is our benchmark targeted balance for paying activities. Yeah, that's probably just those points. Thirdly, so the decrease by $5.3 million. After you take actions like payment of deposits, employee entitlements, that can account for about $2.8 million of unused cash, which is effectively going to be spent to deliver the capital program for the next couple of years. The audit office, together with the local government division, have developed some key financial indicators to indicate council's financial sustainability. So this graph here just shows the underlying surplus ratio, which is the underlying surplus or deficit percentage of recurrent repeatable income. So the target range is between 0 and 10%. On average, council sitting at around just under 1% on average. And as you can see, has been down below the target range, but expects to come up above that range. Remain that way above the target, within the benchmark range for the duration of the 10-year plan, we'll look at later. Another one of the key financial indicators is the net financial liabilities ratio. So this is just showing you your net financial liabilities as a percentage of your recurring income. So where the benchmark is around 50%. Council is significantly outside of that benchmark. So comments are made here. The liabilities include 6.25 million of student loans drawn down during the 2021 financial year, proposed $5 million drawn down during 2022 financial year, and the $13 million provision for the Port Sorell landfill rehabilitation. I guess the key point is that these loans do increase council's financial risk. We have gone from, council is going from having significant cash reserves and very little debt to having probably bare minimum cash reserves and significant amounts of debt. So And the final point there is council's financial strategy relies on deferral of most of that Ports Royal landfill provision liability to at least 2030, 2031. So if for some reason we were required to be spending that money earlier, council would have the ability to do the current funding arrangement. We would have to be looking, have to look for alternative if the proposed level of capacity to borrow any extra. Mm-hmm. I guess those risks, I think, have been explained. Planning process, but I just wanted to highlight that, make sure council was aware of those risks. The other financial indicator is asset sustainability ratios. So this is basically the percentage of expenditure on new assets, or on replacing it, for the percentage. Benchmark suggested by the Audit Office over the long term is 100%. Council, as you can see, has had a period of being over that benchmark and also under. On a long term average, still sitting at around 90%, which is still under that that benchmark. But it's just noted that sometime in the future, council may need another sustained period of expenditure above that benchmark to bring the average to 100%. The documents to be presented for approval tonight are the rating policy, which has already been up, the annual plan and budget, rates resolution, which is Appendix D to the annual plan and budget, and the schedule of fees and charges, which is Appendix E. Thank you, and the budget is recommended.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, I do also have a presentation, an updated West presentation on the long-term financial plan. Would you want me to go through that now, or wait till that is an item later in the agendas?
Yeah, I think we'll leave that for now, and let's deal with this agenda item, if that's okay. Councillor McLaren as mover.
Yes, thank you. $23 million capital budget. It's going to be a busy year. The comments I made in the workshop, my congratulations to the relevant staff, the amount of work that's been done to bring this budget ready to vote on before the financial year actually commences. That's a situation we've always enjoyed. So thank you, Andrew, and thank you all the people that have worked with you. I commend the budget.
Thank you, Councillor McLaren. The second was Councillor Sim.
Yeah, I'd just say that 2021-22 budget and plan that's put before us, so I think it's going to be another busy year for council, and yeah, let's go with it. Thank you. Yeah.
Queries and questions around the table, and I guess in the first place, Councillor Wicks.
I've got one through the chair, Andrew. C5.4 regarding the rates payment discount.
Which is, if I'm not mistaken, 0.75%?
That's 0.7%, well, maybe 0.75% this year. What's it been in the past, Andrew, 1%?
1%, yeah. So that reduction is basically in line with the reduction in interest rates.
And it's sort of like the Grinch that stole Christmas. We're probably passing a relatively significant rate increase, but we're offering any incentive for anyone that wants to pay their rates early. Let's take it, for example, on a $900 rated property, you would normally get about $9 off your rates, and we're knocking that back to $6.75. Where's the incentive for anyone to pay their rates early over $2.25?
It is significantly better than what they get if they put the money in the bank.
I
guess it's worked out. The way we work it out is basically so that we are providing some incentive, because there is a cost if those people who pay in advance are saving council's own costs in chasing up. So we do factor that into the calculation. But also those who can't afford to pay in advance, if we make that too generous, then they're effectively subsidising those who can't.
Over $2.25, I mean, just... I'll be honest and say that alone, and that reduction in providing any incentive. It's nearly enough for me to vote against this budget, in all honesty. But anyway, it is what it is.
Thank you, Councillor Wicks. Your point is made. Queries and questions around the table? Further? Councillor Allison.
I have a few questions, as you probably imagine. In regards to page 54 and then 107 as well in the budgeted financial statements, the budgeted statement of comprehensive income for the year ending 30 June 2020, with regards to the employee costs. With employee costs, 2020 financial year being $4,133,750, with a budgeted figure of $3,656,266 in page 107 of the expenses for financial year 2021, has now a forecasted actual of $4,035,414. This is a variance of $379,148 in more costs, or an increase to the budget of staffing of over 10%. I struggle to understand how this is possible with the number of staff that have left in this period. Going on the last organisational chart sent out on the 18th of May 2021, where in total, due to resource sharing, we employ between both organisations 81 full and part-time staff. This also highlighted that at the time, some 6 weeks ago, that we had 13 vacancies.
Councillor Allison, I'm sorry to interject, but we need to be clear about the question you're asking. Very clear. It's a question you are asking. Can you please get to the question?
I'm leading into the question, Mr.
And that's not what you're able to do under the meeting guidelines. You would need to ask a question and provide any information that substantiates the question, please. So your question, if you could.
I'll just finish where I was.
No, can you ask the question, please?
I've got to get... Please
get to the question, as is required under the meeting regulations.
Mayor, it's relevant, the next 2 points that I have, to make sure that the question can be answered.
Ask the question, please.
Well, no, I have to say this.
I'm saying
to you. Question without saying this.
You can ask a question.
Because Andrew will not understand what I'm asking.
Ask the question, Councillor Allison, please.
I'm going to have to go. Peter, I can't ask the question without raising the point. It just does not work.
Let's be clear. When putting a question without notice, a councillor must not offer an argument or opinion, draw any inferences, or make any imputations, except for as far as is necessary to explain the question. I'll allow you some grace, but please be very clear about what you say and the lead-in into the question. You need to get to the point.
This also highlighted at the time, some 6 weeks ago, that we had 13 vacant positions, which put in a burden on the remaining staff workloads. For a simple argument, say if these positions were filled, an overall conservative cost of $60,000 each per annum, this would be a total extra cost of $780,000 to the 2020 financial year. So it leads to my questions. Number one, my question is, how this has increased over 10% been possible with so many positions vacant and so many staff leaving? Question two, how many staff are also on personal or sick leave as of today.
Councillor Allison, I've got to again interrupt. That is not a question that a councillor should ask. It's an operational issue and you need to be very clear. Staff leave is an operational issue and you're not entitled to ask questions about operational issues. Councillor Allison. Councillor Allison.
Just a minute, Mr. Mayor.
Not just a minute, Councillor Allison. I'm telling you clearly, you do not ask questions about operational issues.
We're voting on pay rise for the staff.
We aren't voting on a budget which includes an allocation of funding for a potential pay rise once the EBA is resolved.
Well, I'll go. That was question two.
There is no second question if it relates to an operational issue.
Staff have been offered a 1.5% wage increase, with the nation's minimum wage increase 2.5%, with underlying inflation expected to be above 3.5% as budget's influence. With the increased workloads being put on staff due to the shortages, is this a fair and equitable wage increase, especially with the above information? And I'll finish on the employee costs.
Again, Councillor Allison, you're making claims about unfair workloads, operational issues, unfounded statements. The staff haven't been offered a 1.5% pay rise. They are subject to an EBA that has yet to be resolved.
Budget for 1.5.
The budget is there. The staff have not been offered a pay rise.
Again,
it's these incorrect statements that you make really cloud the issue for our councillors when we vote on this issue.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, but I take the budget very serious.
And Councillor Allison, I must again interject. Every person in this room and in this council takes the budget very seriously. That is not something that you only take seriously.
You're blatantly stopping me.
I'm not stopping you. I'm requiring you to abide by the rules and regulations under which we all are required to operate. And you're aware of them.
Question one and question three, I've answered, whether it's on notice or...
I'll take them on notice. That's a call for the chairman. And I'll take those on notice and we'll provide answers when we can access those questions. Can you please provide them in writing as is required, and then we can provide follow-up information for you.
Questions without notice, Mr. Mayor, and I cannot give questions on notice, even though we did have a draft budget plan last Monday, but we don't get the final budget plan until 4 days. Questions on notice have to come here through.
That's right, Councillor.
So it's very hard when you're doing an agenda to ask questions on notice because you do not sometimes know what's in there. And also last Monday's was only a draft.
Questions without notice have guidelines. I'm applying those guidelines to discussions as we should. And the information is provided to councillors for a special general meeting. The minimum requirement is 2 days' notice, which has been adhered to in this case for a special general meeting. And we need to apply the guidelines, that is the meeting and procedural guidelines, at any meeting of council. Councillor Allison, you've been made aware of those guidelines on a number of occasions. Please provide those questions in writing and a response will be provided.
I've got more questions anyway. Now on the materials contracts. Page 54 and page 107. In the materials and contracts, in the budget, for 2021, the figure was there at 3,874,844. Forecasted actual is 4,507,965. That is a variance of 633,121, or over 15%, over 16% out in financials. So you link that to the extra wage cost, which was 379,148. The two figures together come out $1 million we're out in our budgets for last year, which allows for this year's budget of a 5% out in total budget. What is the reason for those variances?
Again, we'll take that question on notice. Thank you, Councillor Allison. And if it's if a response is required, we'll provide that in writing.
This is a chance to ask.
This is the chairman. We'll take the notice on the question on notice.
Guided to the accountant.
And I'm chairing the meeting, Councillor Allison. I'll tell you the question will be taken on notice. Please provide a written question and we'll provide a written response.
Just for a note, I had more questions on property costs, which I'd like to go to that one. Andrew, I reckon you can answer this right now. Page 55, property holding costs, that's fine, but then we have property costs underneath, which are increasing 112,000 on the forecast at 221 figure to the budget at 21-22 figure. That's a 40% increase on property costs. What are those costs?
That's mainly due to the addition of the trade hydrotherapy pool into those costs. That's the main reason. So of those two, the holding costs are mainly water and sewerage, but any other sort of land tax and those sorts of things. And the property maintenance and operating is it's property maintenance, but it's also if there's a management arrangement, like a manager or a staff, then that would be included in that property maintenance and operating cost. So the main reason for that increase would be the addition of that extra facility in the hydrotherapy pool.
Yeah, fine with that one. Thank you. And I'll just legal costs seem to have had a fairly significant increase as well. Is there any variance on the reason the legal costs are so high? I mean, if it was Spear Street or whatever with that, can we just put that number under legal costs, or is this different to that 120,000?
Yeah, so there's been a reduction from the forecast to the budget of 83,000, and yes, the increased costs in the 2021 year do relate mainly, I think, to costs related to Beer Street.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other queries and questions, councillors, in relation to the agenda item? No?
Yes.
Councillor Wicks.
We did mention in a workshop regarding the rates mail out that the calendar for the rubbish and recycling bin dates may go out in a different format. Has anything been finalised in regard to that? It's normally a little cutting that's got a fridge magnet on.
Size card on the fridge, yeah.
So what are we doing this year?
Yeah, I think the suggestion was rather than actually mail out that a stock of those be made available and can either be mailed out on.
That was one of the suggestions, but I don't think anything was finalised. So.
Councillor Brown.
I thought that we talked about the magnet was the thing that cost the most on it. And the printout, and I thought we were going to send them out without the magnet. So and most people have got a fridge magnet on their fridge, they will put them up on that. Is that the way anybody else saw it that way?
It's my question. I want to know exactly what we're doing.
That rings a bell. I'd have to go back and have a look at the minutes. I thought we agreed to scupper the fridge magnets and we were going to have some sort of a paper copy in the office for people that was available, potentially provide mail out individually if people requested it, like that.
I just thought the magnet was up because.
Just some clarification on that, provide that. But again, we understand the value of those two ratepayers, how it is valued. So, we'll check that out, come back to you, Councillor Wicks, but we'll come back to all councillors on that one. Other queries or questions? Okay.
I was just going to make a comment.
Councillor Mead.
Certainly, I commend the amount of work that's gone into the budget to try to alleviate what's happened in the 21 financial year around such a high volume of work that was carried forward from the 21 to the 22 year. I think it was over $11 million. So I have much greater confidence that this year that a lot of work's gone in to look at achieve in that time frame due to the constraints to get the work done. So it is a big budget, but hopefully it's a realistic one this year to achieve it in that time.
Thank you, Councillor Mead. Certainly major concerns about accessing contractors at all levels, not only in construction, but also specialist skill sets in architecture, planning and the like. It is a challenge right across the local government sector, I'm sure, but not one councillors are unaware of and does apply to the construction industry more widely. Having said that, I would like to thank the council management team and staff for their contribution and elected members for your dogged discussions, your application to the process and your dedication to ensuring we deliver a budget that is provides us with a sustainable council and provides and delivers those infrastructure projects in particular that our ever-growing community needs and expects. So thank you one and all. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
Councillor Allison recorded against. The motion is carried by a majority.
Yeah.
Next item on our agenda is item number 16841, which is the financial management strategy, long-term financial plan.
Moved, Councillor McLaren.
Thank you. And seconded, Councillor Summer Metzger. Thank you.
And Andrew has a presentation for us.
This is just an update of the financial management strategy presentation. This has been presented in draft form by Paul West to Council at workshops. There have been some final updates with the final figures from the budget into this presentation. I guess it's just the aim of the financial management strategy is to maintain a sustainable operating position during the life of any life of the plan. Council is looking to maintain approximately 3 months of annual operating cash, which is around $3 million currently. Council would have to be able to meet its financial responsibilities as required and respond to unexpected events, floods, fire, COVID-19, etc. And council will ensure there'll be a balanced and responsible approach to rating decisions. So they're the aims of the plan. The general principles, council's finance responsibly managed. There's intergenerational equity so that each year's worth of ratepayers is seen as a separate group of people that are all paying their fair share for what they consume during that year. So they're not, you know, either burdening future generations with costs that are being enjoyed now, and
or give them a free ride,
and conversely not giving them a free ride. Council will maintain a sustainable financial position. Community benefit will always underpin council's decision making, and council will aim to achieve operating surpluses at least over the medium term. An underlying deficit may be acceptable for 1 or 2 years, but you don't want that to continue indefinitely. So council statement of comprehensive income, as per the strategy adopted in October 2020, there was income of 11.81 million, expenses of 12.5 million, and an operating result of 690,000. That's a deficit. The actual results forecast the latest forecast of results for that year are now income of 12.85 million, expenses of 13.48 million, and an operating deficit of 609,000. So, from the time of the adoption of the strategy, there's been an increase in income of 1.03 million. A corresponding increase in expenses of 976,000, and a corresponding decrease in the deficit of 81,000. Over on the right-hand side there is just the forecast results for each year of the long-term financial plan. So you can see there's forecast return to surplus of 3,000 in 21-22 and a gradual increase in surpluses for the period of the 10-year plan. The numbers start to get a bit big when you get to around years 28-29, and I think that's just where we probably need to look over time and get a bit more level of accuracy in those. I think as you get past year five, there starts to be a little bit more, rubbery in terms of the accuracy of the assumptions. So while it looks like we're going very well when it comes to 2031-32 with a $1.81 million surplus, I think there's probably that will be the actual result. So in terms of cash flow, the original strategy was there would be cash on hand at the end of 2021 of 3.01 million. The actual forecast now is 11.93 million, and the main reasons for that is, as I said, the 81,000 increase in the latest forecast operating result. 81,000 dollar improvement, but also $8.77 million reduction in the amount of capital spent during 2021, which is part of that carry forward amount we've already talked about, and the slight difference in the opening cash. So this is the projected cash balances of each year for each year of the 10-year plan. So you can see that decline we talked about from 11.9 million at the end of 2021 to 6.6 at the end of 2022, and then hovering around, or sometimes just under, that $3 million target for the remainder of the 10-year plan. When we get to 2031-32, it does dip a little bit, but again, that being that far out, things will change between now and then. I think as we look at this each year, and particularly look at the discretionary capital items there on the property, that cash balance will be higher when the time comes. We look, you know, we get closer to that time, those forecasts won't be as bad as that. Yeah. So loan borrowings, as at the end of June 2021, are $6.5 million. Proposing an extra $5 million for flood mitigation to be drawn down in 2022. And then no new debt for the life of. And just one thing I didn't mention during the budget, but mentioned that these loans are subject to approval by the State Loan Council, which is a section of Treasury. So that's with them. And we haven't yet received approval, but $5 million loan, and they will be looking at things like that net liabilities ratio when they consider approval. So the underpinning assumptions of the 10-year plan, see there's natural growth of 2%, so that's growth coming in from new properties and improvements of properties. So forecasting 2% each year for the life of the plan. And then rates above inflation for the 21-22 year, it's forecast to be 3%. But that's because in this plan it's effectively no inflation. So it's really just that increase we've already allowed for in the budget that was just. Fees and charges, while there were some adjustments in the 2020 plan for COVID-19, is expecting in most cases to return to normal for 21-22. And then in 22-23, there's just a return of income from Camp Banksia as the components of that redevelopment come online. Interest earned, Yeah, originally we were budgeting for 15,000 for 21-22, which is based on historically low interest rates and what was at the time expected to be a slightly lower balance. We've increased that by 30,000, and potentially those future years could increase as well. So there's probably a little bit of conservatism in that. But in that, those forward projections for interest. Loan interest subsidies. Sorry, wait. That government, so those loans are effectively the $6.25 million loans drawn down during 2021 are effectively interest free by the benefit of this subsidy. Capital grants to 9.8 million in the 22 year, reducing to 5.2 million in the following year, and then 1.7 million in the year after that, which is effectively majority of that is the funding that's been committed for the private flood mitigation project. And then from 24-25 onwards, it's basically the only, I guess, locked in would be the Rosary. Other sort of once-offs that are allowed for in expenditure, there's a municipal revaluation happening in 21-22, so there's an extra $91,000 in that year. And then some extra costs, so the total costs are $130,000, $39,000 coming in the next year, and then returning to normal. Allow for depreciation on new assets, and the amounts there are highlighted there. And you can see there also the interest on loans for the future years on those loans that have drawn down over the 2021 and 21-22 financial year. There's also an adjustment for overhead allocations. That's the capital program, the $23 million capital program we have this year is a record, and it does result in higher amount of our operating costs being allocated to capital. That will sort of unwind over the next few years as the capital program moves back towards a more normal level, and we just adjust it. So that's just a summary of the results of the plan. I won't go through that. Going with over time. So I won't go through that next slide in detail, as included in the paperwork. Come out with the agenda. And similar with the statement of cash flows, we covered that. This is just that's just some projections of where some various key items are heading. So the yellow ones, net cash expenditure on capital works, you can see the spike there for the current financial year. The green line is cash at the end of financial year, so you can see that declining quite sharply and then flatlining for most of the 10-year period. The underlying result, the blue one, see there's a gradual increase that over the 10-year period as discussed already. So the next one is just this ratio, which was talked about in the budget item as well. So you can see our underlying surplus is a percentage of our recurrent revenue increasing steadily over the 10-year period. Again, looking to go above that 10% benchmark in year 30-31, but I think as the plan gets refined, that we'll find that probably more level off at around the 5% level over those later years. This one here is the one you highlighted this during the budget discussion. This is the net financial liabilities ratio. So again, that benchmark of 40%, we council is well below that, which is I guess does mean we're taking on higher financial risk than probably otherwise like to. The blue line is the including all debt, which includes both the borrowings and the provision of the Portsboro landfill rehabilitation. The yellow line is if you take away the landfill rehabilitation, so even without that landfill rehabilitation, you still see below the benchmark for the majority of the 10-year period, but hoping to come back above or expecting to come back above that benchmark in around the year 2030-32.
Is that something to be aware of rather than concerned about? Because it just...
I think, yeah, be aware of it. It does highlight that there is additional financial risk. So I guess if everything that we're currently expecting to happen in the 10-year plan happens, then, council can meet its debts as they fall due. But, council is more exposed to...
vagaries of the interest rates.
Yeah. So I guess the biggest risk is... So as I said before, council has gone from having significant cash balances and no debt to having lower cash balances and reasonably high debt.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess your ability to react to unforeseen circumstances is reduced. Yeah, and you're really reliant on being able to defer those expenditures on the Portsboro landfill site until 31-32.
Thank you.
And again, the assets to sustainability ratio we looked at before. So council was sort of bobbing up and down within that benchmark range, but on average is within benchmark range here over the 10 years. So in summary, council will need to maintain stringent financial management. I'm not quite sure that's what that first point means. I'll leave that for Paul West, I think. I'm not sure. But these projections are based on current known and expected outcomes. Asset management data is still maturing and may impact on the projections in the future. One of the key items, as I've already talked about, is the Portsboro transfer landfill rehabilitation. Liability is carried at $13 million, which is the mid-range of the estimates. But this plan is just looking at $2 million to be spent in 31-32. So it's still obviously an ongoing challenge to reduce that liability over the next 10-year period, I guess, once we get to that. And, the plan will continue to be a work in progress as more work is done, particularly on asset management plans. So that's the major plan. If there are any questions on that?
Read the questions. Councillors. Reiterate the comment that have moved, just as Andrew says, from a situation of high cash balances and low debt to the reverse of that. I'm quite content we're doing it for the right reasons and I'm happy to support it, but we just need to keep that at the back of our minds.
And when the debt's categorised as high, that's comparative to where the position where we had zero debt. High in terms of our total asset base might be a different question altogether. And it would be described differently, I'd suggest.
I agree.
I think the high there is in relation to recurring income.
Yeah, I understand. Queries or questions, councillors? Councillor Metzger?
I don't have any queries or questions, I suppose. Our financial position into the future is what it is, but it's just really unfortunate that these projects that we've had, there's a few big projects that we've had in the pipeline for the last few years is sort of coming to fruition now when, labour and material costs are unprecedented. I'd like to see our council, I think I've talked about it in a workshop before, it might have been a committee meeting, but maybe advocate for other councils and let the federal and the state government know this is what your stimulus package is doing to local government, and no doubt to a lot of industry and households as well. And I don't think throwing cash at new and shiny projects is probably the best way to actually be stimulating the economy in the long term. We've seen it happen before with the baby bonus and, you know, the last time they had the first homeowners grants. It just injects a lot of cash, but then the people who get it in the end aren't really any better off than they were beforehand. So, yeah, I'd just like to see them think a bit more about how they can stimulate the economy rather than just trying to inject money into it as a vote winner, basically. And, I mean, it would be stupid not to, you know, take a piece of the pie when it's offered, and all councils are going to do that. But I just think there's better ways they could be doing it, just more inventive ways of doing it. That is all.
Questioning my own mind how much of that was whether I should have pulled you up in terms of some of the commentary, Councillor Metzger, but it is what it is. And in terms of the stimulus, certainly our concerns have been made known to federal politicians who represent us in Braddon and Pearce, but also to the state government verbally, but it might be a need to reiterate that in a formal sense and relay the concerns of councillors if that's the case, that the impact of the economic stimulus has on our capital works program. Other queries or questions? Councillor Allison.
I'd just like to reiterate my concerns. There's still nothing in there that's measuring the resource sharing arrangement. And that's because until I get those numbers is why I continue to vote for zero. Until I can get some sort of measurement on a cost versus benefit of the resource sharing, well, it's...
Thank you.
Yep.
There's no other queries or questions. Put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion is carried by majority. Thank you, Andrew, for the work and the presentation and your continued efforts on our behalf. I'm not...
That's the meeting.
Reading